What'll happen to the foreign firms that have flocked to Ireland for the tax benefits if those tax benefits change? From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio. It's advantageous for companies to do business in Ireland because of how that country calculates taxes. Tech giants like Google, Facebook, and Apple have set up subsidiaries there, and by doing that, they've saved billions of dollars thanks to a tax rate that's way lower than the rates in many other countries. Well, the Irish government is expected to unveil a new budget tomorrow, and there are reports it'll include a proposal to close that tax loophole. We're joined now by Nigel Cassidy, the BBC's Europe business correspondent. Hi there, Nigel.
Hello.
So this tax loophole is known as the double Irish, and maybe you can tell me a bit about what it is.
Essentially, what it allows companies to do is to be incorporated in one country, but to pay quite large fees to another associated company, which has its tax residency somewhere else, typically Bermuda or the Caymans, so that it pays far less in tax. Ireland has allowed this kind of arrangement for many years, and as a result, it's attracted a huge number of jobs, almost 160,000 jobs at risk if eventually the Irish government has to amend this rule.
And why is this happening now? I gather the budget is due tomorrow. Is that the motivating factor here?
Well, yes. I mean, there's been enormous international pressure on Ireland, particularly from the US and from Britain, and it's just become unsustainable for the government there. So they've agreed to make a phase change over a number of years, and they've identified this as being better than having to make a big change overnight at some point, which would be a great deal more damaging for Southern Ireland.
I can only suspect that if this does change, there are many countries, many places around the world that would be welcoming these companies with open arms. Would you agree? Is that the case?
Well, I think there'd be many countries that would want to try and lure companies. But of course, Ireland has particular advantages because it's English speaking. It has much in common with the United States and the UK. There aren't so many other places around Europe which would fit the bill. So I don't really see these companies rushing to other places in Europe. Of course, there is a question of whether they might think the UK would be more convenient.
Nigel Cassidy is Europe business correspondent for the BBC. Nigel, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Financial innovation in the housing market is back. We're hearing terms like REO to rental securitization or rental-backed securities. If you're having flashbacks to a subprime crisis from a few years ago, I'm right there with you. But Stan Alcorn says this is a different animal.
Like the subprime mortgage-backed security of old, it all starts with a house.
It's a two-story brick house with a two-car garage.
But Jess Jocelyn rents that house from a $3.5 billion real estate investment trust called American Homes for Rent.
And from what I understand, almost all their houses look like this. They're really nice.
Nice houses in nice neighborhoods in cities with a lot of subprime mortgage-induced foreclosures. Lori Goodman, director of the Housing Finance Policy Center at the Urban Institute, says big investors have bought nearly 200,000 of these distressed homes over the past few years, lured by the post-crisis low prices.
You're seeing it in Phoenix, in Las Vegas, in Atlanta.
When they got into the market in 2012, the plan was to buy low with cash from investors and then reap the profits from high rents. But in 2014, in those cities, the price to buy has been on the rebound. And rents?
Rents haven't gone up all that much, and they haven't gone up nearly as much as home prices.
Buy high, rent low doesn't have the same ring to it or the same return on dollars invested. But if you can use a lot of other people's dollars, enter securitization.
What do you call it? Are they rental-backed securities?
They're viewed as a hybrid.
Doug Bent is the director of research for mortgage-backed securities at Deutsche Bank. The bank pioneered this new financial instrument to give the new housing investors leverage, a way of buying more houses with less of their own cash.
Necessity is the mother of invention, as the saying goes.
Think of it as a really big loan to a really big landlord, chopped into little pieces and sold to bondholders. The landlord, like American Homes for Rent, gets some cash for the rising home prices and a better interest rate.
Just kind of like a homeowner refinancing.
The lenders get a bond payment every month, thanks to thousands of rental payments from people like Jess Jocelyn.
Ours is $2,000 a month.
And if some of the thousands of Jocelyns stop paying their rent, well, the landlord can kick them out and find new tenants or sell the house. Lori Goodman says that, plus a much smaller scale and more conservative approach, means that rental-backed security is a far cry from the infamous toxic mortgage-backed assets that led to the last crisis.
I think people think, you know, this is a repeat of the excesses of the past, but in reality, it's very, very different than the past. It's sort of a begin to creep back to normalcy.
A normalcy where more people are renting, and more of their landlords are multi-billion-dollar companies. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Imagine this, a big bank on the brink of collapse, which could affect markets around the world. Sounds familiar, maybe a little scary. Well, fear not, that's just the premise of a war game U.S. and British policymakers are playing today. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew, the Fed chair, they're involved, along with their counterparts from the U.K. Chancellor George Osborne says a game like this is an opportunity to make sure our different but similar domestic arrangements work. Finally, many of my Marketplace colleagues will be on stage in New York this Thursday, October 16th, for a live show at the 92nd Street Y about how numbers can lie and tell the truth. You can get tickets at 92y.org. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.